You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe, or at least on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
It's February 13th, 2017, and the small, close-knit town of Delphi, Indiana is quiet. The cold air is biting, and it's a rare Monday off from school. Abigail Williams and Liberty German, two best friends, are spending the day together like any other pair of young teenage girls would, enjoying the freedom that a day off from school brings. They had stayed up late the night before, crafting in Libby's room, laughing, practicing softball in the backyard, doing what kids their age do. There's no way they could have known that this was the last normal day of their lives. By the afternoon, Abby and Libby decide to go for a hike. They get dropped off near the Monon High Bridge, a popular spot for hiking, photos, and just soaking in the outdoors. At 2:07 p.m., Libby posts a photo to her Snapchat of Abby walking along the weathered, abandoned bridge. It's the last image anyone would see of them alive. By 5:30 p.m., when they fail to show up for their ride home, the alarm bells begin to ring. Their families are worried, and the search for the two girls begins. But it's not until the next day on February 14th, Valentine's Day, that searchers make the horrifying discovery. The bodies of Abby and Libby, murdered, abandoned in the woods, just half a mile from the bridge. From the very beginning, something about this case has felt off. Mysterious. There's evidence, yes. A haunting video on Libby's phone of a man, known now as Bridge Guy, walking towards them on the bridge. And an audio clip, chilling in its simplicity, of the man saying, "Down the hill." But even with these clues, the case is slow to develop. Days turn into weeks, weeks into months, and before long, years have passed without answers. Enter Keegan Klein, a man whose involvement with this case is as tangled as it is disturbing. Klein is no stranger to law enforcement. He's been investigated for creating and using fake social media profiles to lure and manipulate young girls online. One of these profiles is particularly alarming. Under the username Anthony Schatz, Klein posed as a wealthy, attractive young man, using photos he'd stolen from an unsuspecting male model. Through this fake profile, Klein chatted with girls, teenage girls, often trying to solicit explicit photos and, in some cases, arranging to meet them in person. Klein's online activities were enough to get the attention of the FBI and other law enforcement agencies. But what makes this even more unsettling is that Libby German had been in communication with the Anthony Schatz account. In fact, Libby had been talking to this fake persona in the days leading up to her murder. And, as investigators would later discover, Keegan Klein had allegedly planned to meet Libby on the very day she disappeared. The connection is eerie, too close for comfort. The possibility that Klein, or someone connected to him, could have been involved in the deaths of Abby and Libby seems not just possible, it seems chillingly plausible. Klein has a history of predatory behavior. In 2020, just 3 years after the Delphi murders, police executed a search warrant on his home. What they found was shocking, but perhaps not entirely unexpected. Thousands of explicit images of minors. Klein was arrested and charged with child exploitation and possession of child pornography. But despite the evidence against him, and despite the clear connection between his Anthony Schatz profile and Libby German, Klein has always denied any involvement in the murders. He's admitted to communicating with Libby, but he's maintained that he never actually met her in person. Still, the suspicion remains. Investigators have pointed to the possibility that Klein may not have acted alone, that perhaps he shared information with someone else, someone who may have known about his plans to meet Libby that day. There are whispers that Klein might have been more than just an online predator, that he might have played a more active role in the girls' deaths, or at the very least, facilitated a situation that led to their murder. Despite all this, Klein wasn't immediately charged in connection with the Delphi murders. For years, investigators pursued other leads, and Klein's involvement remained more of a shadow in the background, a disturbing thread left to dangle while the case took other turns. Then there's Ron Logan, the elderly man who owned the property where Abby and Libby's bodies were found. Logan's behavior in the aftermath of the murders raised a lot of red flags. He had given law enforcement an alibi. He said he'd been out of town that day, visiting an aquarium. But it wasn't long before investigators discovered that Logan had lied. He had allegedly asked a family member to lie for him, to back up his alibi. A lie that, when exposed, placed Logan under intense scrutiny. What's even more suspicious is that Logan had a history of violent behavior. Two of his former girlfriends described him as abusive, controlling. One of them even claimed that Logan had threatened to kill her, saying that he could do it, and no one would ever find her body. Investigators searched Logan's property thoroughly after the murders. They dug into his home, his garage, his vehicles, and what they found was troubling, though not necessarily definitive. Fibers and hairs that couldn't be immediately identified, articles of clothing that seemed out of place, evidence that suggested the girls' bodies had been staged after their deaths. And, crucially, Logan's cell phone data placed him near the crime scene around the time of the murders. But just like with Keegan Klein, no direct evidence tied Logan to the crime. Despite his suspicious behavior and his criminal past, Logan was never charged with the murders. He was, however, arrested on unrelated charges, probation violations related to driving under the influence, and in a strange twist of fate, Logan would die in 2020 from COVID-19, taking with him any secrets he may have had about what really happened on his property that cold February day in 2017. In the years that followed, the case continued to grow colder. Leads were chased, suspects were questioned, but no one was arrested. All the while, the families of Abby and Libby were left waiting, hoping that justice would one day be served. And then, in October 2022, a breakthrough. Richard Allen, a 50-year-old man from Delphi, was arrested and charged with the murders of Abby Williams and Libby German. Allen's arrest sent shockwaves through the small town. Not just because someone had finally been charged, but because Allen was a familiar face in the community. He was a husband, a father. He worked at the local CVS, where, in a cruel twist, he had reportedly printed photos for the families of the murdered girls. But the evidence against Allen wasn't as straightforward as one might expect in a case of this magnitude. According to the probable cause affidavit, Allen had placed himself at the scene of the crime. He told investigators that he had been on the trail that day, that he'd seen the girls, but that his contact with them had been brief, insignificant. Yet multiple witnesses claimed to have seen a man matching Allen's description, both on the trail and later, walking along a road in muddy, bloody clothes. Perhaps the most damning piece of evidence was a single unspent bullet found at the crime scene. Ballistics tests linked this bullet to a gun owned by Allen. But even this evidence is shaky. Allen's defense team has argued that ballistics testing is far from an exact science, and that the mere presence of a bullet isn't enough to prove that Allen was the killer. What's more, Allen's defense claims that he has been treated unfairly throughout the investigation. They've pointed to his treatment in solitary confinement, where he has allegedly suffered severe mental distress. According to reports, Allen has lost a significant amount of weight, and his behavior has become increasingly erratic. He's been seen banging his head against the wall, eating paper, even confessing to the murders in what his defense argues is a state of psychosis brought on by his harsh treatment in prison. These confessions, they say, should not be taken as evidence of guilt, but rather as the desperate cries of a man who has been driven to the edge by his confinement. In recent months, Allen's defense team has also raised new questions about the case, suggesting that the true killers may be connected to a group of Odinists, a pagan religion that has been co-opted by white supremacist groups. According to the defense, symbols resembling runes were found at the crime scene, and they believe these markings point to a ritualistic killing carried out by members of this group. The defense has even gone so far as to accuse law enforcement of ignoring this evidence, of focusing all their efforts on Allen while disregarding other, potentially more credible suspects. They've pointed to individuals in the Delphi area with known ties to Odinism, suggesting that these people may have had a motive to commit the murders and may have even confessed to their involvement. Yet, despite these allegations, the court has so far denied the defense's requests to explore this Odinist theory further. Allen remains the primary suspect, and his trial is set to begin soon. As the trial looms, one can't help but wonder, is Richard Allen really the man responsible for the deaths of Abby Williams and Libby German? Or is he simply another man caught up in the chaos of this investigation, while the true killers remain at large? The questions linger, as they have for years. And as the case against Richard Allen moves forward, the search for the full truth continues. Whether it lies with Keegan Klein, Ron Logan, or someone else entirely, one thing is clear. The story of Abby and Libby's tragic deaths is far from over.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.